This is the listening test of the 2019 Year 9 Final Examination in English. There are four tasks in this test. You will hear the recording twice for all of the tasks. Now turn to Task 1. Task 1. You will hear two people talking about wedding plans. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, complete the sentences. Write no more than two words in each gap. An example, 0 has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the sentences.
Hey, Lens.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I heard you're getting married.
I am. I got engaged in July, and I'm getting married next September.
Wow, that's quite a long time between getting engaged and getting married.
It is, but in America, you usually have an engagement for 1 year.
Why is that?
I don't know, but now it's very regular to have a long engagement, so if I don't have a long engagement, it seems like it's a rushed wedding.
So what do you have to do between now and next September? What do you have to prepare?
Well, I've hired the band.
Already?
Yes, they're a funk band.
Brilliant.
They play the Beatles and Earth, Wind & Fire.
Together?
Maybe not together, but I've hired the band and they're great. And I've also hired the florist.
Uh-huh.
And I've hired the caterer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the food and everything sorted. And I have picked the location.
Well, how long did it take you to decide all that? It seems like you've done a lot of preparation already.
It took me about 2 months to get everything done. I saw about 5 different bands and 6 different florists, and I looked at about 7 different places.
Did the bands actually come to your house, kind of set up in the living room and play, or what?
No, I would look at their video. Each band had a video, so I'd preview it by looking at their video. But it was important for me to have a band that was very lively and that had an MC, so that someone could be in charge of the wedding to say the announcements.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And so are you doing all the preparation or is your fiancé helping out?
He's pretty much doing nothing, so I'm doing everything. So the thing left that we really need to figure out is the guest list and then what will the ceremony be like.
Okay. So I suppose he's paying for everything, right? That's his job.
No, actually, I'm very fortunate in the fact that my parents are paying for most of it. And fiancé's parents are paying for some of it as well. So.
Okay.
And I think we're going to have about 100 people, so it should be maybe kind of expensive. But
ooh, that's pretty big.
Yeah, but I'm going to get a lot of presents, so I'm very excited.
Listen again and check your answers.
Hey, Lens.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I heard you're getting married.
I am. I got engaged in July, and I'm getting married next September.
Wow, that's quite a long time between getting engaged and getting married.
It is, but in America, you usually have an engagement for 1 year.
Why is that?
I don't know, but now it's very regular to have a long engagement, so if I don't have a long engagement, it seems like it's a rushed wedding.
So what do you have to do between now and next September? What do you have to prepare?
Well, I've hired the band.
Already?
Yes, they're a funk band.
Brilliant.
They play the Beatles and Earth, Wind & Fire.
Together?
Maybe not together, but I've hired the band and they're great. And I've also hired the florist.
Uh-huh.
And I've hired the caterer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the food and everything sorted. And I have picked the location.
Well, how long did it take you to decide all that? It seems like you've done a lot of preparation already.
It took me about 2 months to get everything done. I saw about five different bands and six different florists, and I looked at about seven different places.
Did the bands actually come to your house, kind of set up in the living room and play, or what?
No, I would look at their video. Each band had a video, so I'd preview it by looking at their video. But it was important
Okay.
for me to have a band that was very lively and that had an MC so that someone could be in charge of the wedding to say the announcements.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And so, are you doing all the preparation or is your fiance helping out?
He's pretty much doing nothing, so I'm doing everything.
Okay.
So the thing left that we really need to figure out is the guest list and then what will the ceremony be like?
So I suppose he's paying for everything, right? That's his job.
No, actually, I'm very fortunate in the fact that my parents are paying for most of it,
Oh,
and
that's sweet.
my fiance's parents are paying for some of it as well.
Okay.
So, and I think we're gonna have about 100 people, so it should be maybe kind of expensive, but
Oh, that's pretty big.
yeah, but I'm gonna get a lot of presents, so I'm very excited.
That
That is the end of task one. Now turn to task two. Task two. You will hear some people talking about traveling. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences A to H below. While you listen, match the sentences to the speakers and write letters B to H in the table. There are two extra sentences that you do not need to use. An example zero has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the sentences. Example zero.
I was a woman traveling alone, but I wouldn't trade these experiences for the world. They were hard and scary, but I discovered the goodness in people all around the world. I saw the opportunity to make history by breaking a speed record, test my physical and mental endurance while also experiencing as much of the world as possible. I wanted to inspire others and enhance the world we live in and leave a positive legacy behind.
Speaker one.
I decided to dedicate my life to bringing down the walls that separate people. I do so through many ways. Tourism is one of them, but also media and education. And you might be wondering, really, can tourism change things? Can it bring down walls? Yes, tourism is the best way to bring down those walls and to create a way of connecting with each other and creating friendships.
Speaker two.
When you're teaching abroad, or especially when you're traveling abroad for long periods of time, you don't really have roots. This is a temporary state for me. When you're teaching abroad, you're here on a year contract. I lost one of my closest friends in Korea in February. Your friends are constantly cycling out. When you're traveling for long periods of time, or even just doing a series of short trips, you meet someone one day, but they're on the move. It leaves you feeling a little lost. You never have a solid foundation of people. On top of that, you're living out of a suitcase or a backpack.
Speaker three.
Even as a little kid, I was actually working out that it would be cheaper to go to boarding school in England than just to the best school down the road from my parents' house in California. And so, from the time I was 9 years old, I was flying alone several times a year over the North Pole just to go to school. And of course, the more I flew, the more I came to love to fly. And then, almost inevitably, I became a travel writer, so my job and my joy could become one.
Speaker 4.
So if you travel, you'll meet all kinds of people. You meet Asians, Caucasians, strange people, normal people. And they all have a different perspective on life. And you don't have to agree with it, but you can always learn from it. So if you travel, you're going to widen your perspective. And if everybody does that, you will understand the world better. And if you understand the world better, you understand yourself better. And if everybody would do that, we can make the world a better place.
Speaker 5.
And probably that exact experience where I really began to feel like every photograph was precious. And I realized all this shivering had actually taught me something. In life, there are no shortcuts to joy. Anything that is worth pursuing is going to require us to suffer just a little bit. And that tiny bit of suffering that I did for my photography, it added a value to my work that was so much more meaningful to me than just trying to fill the pages of magazines.
Listen again and check your answers. Speaker 1.
I decided to dedicate my life to bringing down the walls that separate people. I do so through many ways. Tourism is one of them, but also media and education. And you might be wondering, really, can tourism change things? Can it bring down walls? Yes, tourism is the best way to bring down those walls and to create a way of connecting with each other and creating friendships.
Speaker 2.
When you're teaching abroad, or especially when you're traveling abroad for long periods of time, you don't really have roots. This is a temporary state for me. When you're teaching abroad, you're here on a year contract. I lost one of my closest friends in Korea in February. Your friends are constantly cycling out. When you're traveling for long periods of time, or even just doing a series of short trips, you meet someone one day, but they're on the move. It leaves you feeling a little lost. You never have a solid foundation of people. On top of that, you're living out of a suitcase or a backpack.
Speaker 3.
Even as a little kid, I was actually working out that it would be cheaper to go to boarding school in England than just to the best school down the road from my parents' house in California. And so, from the time I was 9 years old, I was flying alone several times a year over the North Pole just to go to school. And of course, the more I flew, the more I came to love to fly. And then, almost inevitably, I became a travel writer, so my job and my joy could become one.
Speaker 4.
So if you travel, you'll meet all kinds of people. You meet Asians, Caucasians, strange people, normal people. And they all have a different perspective on life. And you don't have to agree with it, but you can always learn from it. So if you travel, you're going to widen your perspective. And if everybody does that, you will understand the world better. And if you understand the world better, you understand yourself better. And if everybody would do that, we can make the world a better place.
Speaker 5.
And probably that exact experience where I really began to feel like every photograph was precious. And I realized all this shivering had actually taught me something. In life, there are no shortcuts to joy. Anything that is worth pursuing is going to require us to suffer just a little bit. And that tiny bit of suffering that I did for my photography, It added a value to my work that was so much more meaningful to me than just trying to fill the pages of magazines.
That is the end of task 2. Now turn to task 3. Task 3. You will hear a talk about the Wright brothers. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, tick the correct option, A, B, or C. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 45 seconds to read the sentences.
Orville and Wilbur Wright, often called the Wright brothers, are best known as the first inventors to successfully create and fly an aircraft that was heavier than air, forever changing travel, trade, and warfare worldwide. Wilbur Wright, the older brother, was born on April 16, 1867, near Millville, Indiana. Orville Wright, the younger brother, was born on August 19, 1871, in Dayton, Ohio. They were two of seven children born to Milton Wright, a clergyman. The brothers grew up in Indiana and Ohio, moving several times during their childhood. Although both brothers attended high school, neither one graduated. In 1889, Orville built his own printing press and launched a newspaper with his brother Wilbur's help. The newspaper was not entirely successful, and in 1892, the brothers opened a shop selling and repairing bicycles. Meanwhile, people all over the world were experimenting with flying machines. German aviator Otto Lilienthal made many successful flights using gliders, the first person ever to do so. He died when his glider crashed in 1896. That same year, American Samuel Langley succeeded in making short flights with an unmanned aircraft powered by a small steam engine. These two events inspired the Wright brothers, and they began seriously researching flying machines in 1899. They thought Otto Lilienthal had had the right idea with his gliders, but his crash proved to them that a better way of steering them was needed. They carefully watched birds in flight, and noticed the way they tilted their wings to change direction in the air. Wilbur built a huge kite to test out the brothers' idea that warping or twisting its wings would allow them to steer, and it was successful. In 1900, Orville and Wilbur went to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to begin experimenting with gliders. They chose Kitty Hawk because it had strong, steady winds, as well as sandy beaches for softer landings. Many early tests of the glider were made while it was tethered by ropes like a kite, and with no one aboard. The glider did not perform as well as they had hoped it would, and the brothers returned home to Dayton, Ohio to try again.
Listen again and check your answers.
Orville and Wilbur Wright, often called the Wright brothers, are best known as the first inventors to successfully create and fly an aircraft that was heavier than air, forever changing travel, trade, and warfare worldwide. Wilbur Wright, the older brother, was born on April 16, 1867, near Millville, Indiana. Orville Wright, the younger brother, was born on August 19, 1871, in Dayton, Ohio. They were two of seven children born to Milton Wright, a clergyman. The brothers grew up in Indiana and Ohio, moving several times during their childhood. Although both brothers attended high school, neither one graduated. In 1889, Orville built his own printing press and launched a newspaper with his brother Wilbur's help. The newspaper was not entirely successful, and in 1892, the brothers opened a shop selling and repairing bicycles. Meanwhile, people all over the world were experimenting with flying machines. German aviator Otto Lilienthal made many successful flights using gliders, the first person ever to do so. He died when his glider crashed in 1896. That same year, American Samuel Langley succeeded in making short flights with an unmanned aircraft powered by a small steam engine. These two events inspired the Wright brothers, and they began seriously researching flying machines in 1899. They thought Otto Lilienthal had had the right idea with his gliders, but his crash proved to them that a better way of steering them was needed. They carefully watched birds in flight and noticed the way they tilted their wings to change direction in the air. Wilbur built a huge kite to test out the brothers' idea that warping or twisting its wings would allow them to steer, and it was successful. In 1900, Orville and Wilbur went to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to begin experimenting with gliders. They chose Kitty Hawk because it had strong, steady winds, as well as sandy beaches for softer landings. Many early tests of the glider were made while it was tethered by ropes like a kite, and with no one aboard. The glider did not perform as well as they had hoped it would, and the brothers returned home to Dayton, Ohio to try again.
That is the end of Task 3. Now turn to Task 4. Task 4. You will hear a woman talking about how to take care of a puppy. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the notes below. While you listen, complete the notes. Write no more than two words in each gap. An example, 0, has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the notes. Before you bring your puppy home, prepare yourself with the following supplies. Premium puppy food to get your new puppy off to a good start. Food and water bowls. Identification tags with your puppy's name and your contact information. Brushes and combs suited to your puppy's coat. Dog shampoo. Toothbrush and toothpaste, high-quality, safe chew toys to ease teething, and of course, treats. Once you have the supplies, it's time to puppy-proof your home. Raising a puppy is a lot like raising small children. They get into everything. A helpful tip, get down on your hands and knees to view the world like your puppy will. It may help you to find things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. Small objects hidden under couches and chairs that could be swallowed, or hiding spaces where a small pup could get stuck. Are there rooms your puppy should be restricted from entering until he's better trained and more reliable? If so, install a baby gate, or keep the doors to those rooms closed until your puppy matures. Once your house is ready, it's time to bring your new family member home. So it may not be the best idea to bring the whole family, especially if you have excited young kids. Also, keep in mind that sounds and the movements of your car can be very scary for a young pup and make them nervous. On the first trip home, it's okay to have a passenger hold your puppy in a soft blanket or towel on their lap. The ideal time to bring home a new puppy is when the house is quiet. Do your best to minimize the number of visitors stopping by the first few days, so you can establish a daily routine by following these steps. You should spend a little extra time with your new puppy on his first day home. If necessary, hire a dog walker or ask a neighbor to come take him out at regular intervals during this training period. Supervise your puppy at all times and interact with him regularly. Be alert for signs, sniffing and circling, that he has to go to the bathroom. Then take him out immediately. And don't punish an accident. Never push his nose in the waste or scold him. He won't understand. Limit puppy children play sessions to 15 to 30 minute periods 2 to 3 times a day. You need to keep an eye on a puppy. An excited puppy can be strong when he jumps and play bites, which can be too rough for young children. Listen again and check your answers. Before you bring your puppy home, prepare yourself with the following supplies. Premium puppy food to get your new puppy off to a good start. Food and water bowls. Identification tags with your puppy's name and your contact information. Brushes and combs suited to your puppy's coat. Dog shampoo. Toothbrush and toothpaste. High quality, safe chew toys to ease teething. And of course, treats. Once you have the supplies, it's time to puppy-proof your home. Raising a puppy is a lot like raising small children. They get into everything. A helpful tip, get down on your hands and knees to view the world like your puppy will. It may help you to find things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. Small objects hidden under couches and chairs that could be swallowed, or hiding spaces where a small pup could get stuck. Are there rooms your puppy should be restricted from entering until he's better trained and more reliable? If so, install a baby gate, or keep the doors to those rooms closed until your puppy matures. Once your house is ready, it's time to bring your new family member home. So it may not be the best idea to bring the whole family, especially if you have excited young kids. Also, keep in mind that sounds and the movements of your car can be very scary for a young pup and make them nervous. On the first trip home, it's okay to have a passenger hold your puppy in a soft blanket or towel on their lap. The ideal time to bring home a new puppy is when the house is quiet. Do your best to minimize the number of visitors stopping by the first few days, so you can establish a daily routine by following these steps. You should spend a little extra time with your new puppy on his first day home. If necessary, hire a dog walker or ask a neighbor to come take him out at regular intervals during this training period. Supervise your puppy at all times and interact with him regularly. Be alert for signs, sniffing and circling, that he has to go to the bathroom. Then take him out immediately. And don't punish an accident. Never push his nose in the waste or scold him. He won't understand. Limit puppy children play sessions to 15 to 30 minute periods, 2 to 3 times a day. You need to keep an eye on a puppy. An excited puppy can be strong when he jumps and play bites, which can be too rough for young children. That is the end of the listening test. Now turn to the reading test.